Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
The following podcast contains audio extracted from videos on the Harry Potter Theory YouTube channel. Hey everyone, welcome to another installment of Harry Potter Theory. Today we're going to be discussing a rather dark theory which posits that wizardkind, that is, all of the witches and wizards in the magical world, are on a path to extinction. But before we get into their possible extinction, let's first take a brief look at their origins. The exact origins of magic are still unclear to this day. No one knows whether the inception of wizardkind was born from humans, randomly discovering their magical abilities, or if it was created by way of pact, ritual, or potion. Personally, I find the first theory more intriguing, as it aligns with the concept of muggleborns and how they would first develop their magical abilities. But in essence, what differentiates the humans from the wizards is the development of the magical gene, a way to tap into the magic that already exists within the world. The first magical being didn't appear until 2600 BC, but what's important to note here is that wizards aren't a new species, they're just a subspecies of regular humans. Because of this, they possess many of the same physical characteristics. It also means that if you trace back the origins of wizards, you'll eventually end up looking at the origins of humans as a whole. But besides the obvious one, the magic, wizardkind are also different from humankind in a few other subtle, non-visual ways. They are physiologically different to some extent. And one of the largest ways that wizardkind differs from humankind is, ironically, life expectancy. According to a figure reported by the Ministry of Divine Health, the average wizarding life expectancy was reported at an average of 137¾ years old, which means that they live 57% longer than their muggle counterparts, who cap out at around 79. I suspect that one of the largest reasons for this is a subtle difference in their physiology that renders them less susceptible to common diseases, illnesses, and sicknesses. Witches and wizards also have access to better medicines and medical remedies. This means that, in addition to their already superior physiology, they're more effectively able to treat a wide variety of illnesses, conditions. Wizarding medicine is particularly advanced, and where a human may suffer from a potentially fatal bone break, their wizard counterpart would be able to take advantage of a potion like Skellagrow, which either mends broken bones or regrows them entirely. A broken bone can be fixed in one night, where a human may require a cast along with months of physical therapy. This is just a prime example of how much more advanced wizarding medicine is, and one reason why they may be able to live for so much longer than their human counterparts. But an increased life expectancy obviously doesn't mean much if their species is doomed for extinction, right? Let's get into that. I was on Reddit recently and came across a rather compelling argument for wizardkind's inevitable extinction, citing a massive school size, diminishing class sizes at Hogwarts, and an overall lack of wizarding presence in the world, despite wizardkind existing for millennia. The description of Hogwarts in the series depicts it as a large and expansive castle with at least 142 staircases, 5 dungeons, long hallways, multiple towers, and numerous classrooms. However, despite its vast size, Hogwarts seems to have a relatively small student population compared to its capacity. The exact number of students is inconsistent in the books, with estimates ranging from 280 to 900 students. However, even at its highest estimate, the student population would only be a fraction of its potential capacity. And in case things weren't confusing enough, Rowling later clarified in an interview the exact number of students at the school. There are about 1,000 students at Hogwarts. But the main point is this: the student population is still significantly lower than what would be expected for a school of Hogwarts size. Hogwarts Castle is described as having the size and capacity of a decently sized college, with the ability to accommodate thousands of students. However, the actual student population of Hogwarts is significantly smaller, and with just 15 or so teachers and staff responsible for all of the students, it's clear that Hogwarts has nowhere near the number of students that its size would suggest. Hogwarts is probably at 10% capacity at best. So the next question is, why? Why would the founders of Hogwarts have chosen to include a significant amount of unused space in the castle's design? The proposed answer here is that they didn't create unused space, they simply created a castle that would meet the needs of the students at that time. What this would suggest is that the wizarding population as a whole was about 10 times what it is today. And if that's the case, it means that over the course of a millennia, the wizarding population reduced in size by 90%. That sounds like an expiring species, if you ask me. In the Chamber of Secrets, Ron Weasley even says, "If we hadn't intermarried with muggles, we would have died out." We also know that witches and wizards did not cohabit well with muggles. The reason behind this is twofold: a long history of prejudice and the need for secrecy to protect the magical community. Throughout history, witches and wizards faced discrimination and persecution from muggles who feared and misunderstood their magical abilities. This prejudice created a divide between the magical and non-magical communities, leading to a general mistrust and animosity. To combat this persecution, the Statute of Secrecy was implemented in 1692 to safeguard the magical world. This law required witches and wizards to conceal their existence and abilities from muggles. This was done to prevent widespread panic, exploitation, or attempts to control the magical community by non-magical individuals. But perhaps it was also implemented with another factor in mind: to preserve their species. To make a change of that magnitude, to hide your world completely, witches and wizards must have been in a truly dire situation. This would also explain, to some extent, the level of prejudice towards muggles that still presides within the wizarding community. From there, things would have become even more difficult, as separating the two worlds and living in secrecy would have posed new challenges. It would have made it more difficult for witches and wizards to socialize, form relationships, and marry muggles without risking exposure of the magical world. As societal norms changed over time, and marrying muggles became more accepted, the wizarding community likely experienced a decline in population. Factors such as casualties during World War II, and conflicts involving dark wizards like Grindelwald and Voldemort, contributed to a significant loss of lives within the magical community. The inherent dangers of wizarding life, from misused spells to magical creatures, also pose threats to individual safety. And the increasing presence of muggle-borns and advancements in muggle technology further threaten the traditional ways of wizarding life, leading to a diminishing emphasis on magical education and exceptionalism. In short, by the time Harry arrived at Hogwarts, wizardkind were in hot water, despite all of their physiological advantages. And the primary threat here is that the remaining wizards will exist less and less as their own separate entity, slowly merging with the muggles and using magic progressively less until they are effectively just muggles. Here are my thoughts. The first thing I thought about when assessing the potential decline in the wizarding population was a quote from the books referring to the Quidditch World Cup. 100,000 witches and wizards were taking their places in the seats, which rose in levels around the long oval field. Everything was suffused with a mysterious golden light, which seemed to come from the stadium itself. How could wizardkind possibly be going extinct if 100,000 of them can make it to the Wizarding World's premier sporting event? But while 100,000 is certainly no figure to scoff at, the argument here is that wizardkind's population is in decline, not that there aren't still a lot of them around. The Quidditch World Cup hosts witches and wizards from all across the world, and on a planet with over 7.95 billion people, this figure represents just 0.00125% of the population. The Quidditch World Cup figures certainly suggest that there are a lot of witches and wizards still around, but doesn't necessarily contradict the argument that the population is dwindling. The next possibility is that Hogwarts is an isolated example of the diminishing population. What this means is that, yes, Hogwarts was designed for many more students, and that, yes, the school used to be a lot more full. However, what this would mean is that the current attendance at Hogwarts is simply a reflection of the casualties the wizarding world faced during the First Wizarding War. Britain was not a good place to be during the rise of Voldemort, and an even worse place to raise a child. So it's entirely possible that large portions of Britain's visiting population simply fled the country. The issue with this explanation is that by the time Harry arrived at school, there should have been evidence of a baby boom. A baby boom, in the context of war, refers to a significant increase in the birth rate that occurs after a period of conflict, often as a result of soldiers, or in this case witches and wizards, returning home and starting families. Following conflict, there is typically a period of stability and optimism, which leads to a sharp increase in marriages and subsequent births. As Harry's birth almost directly coincided with Voldemort's death and the end of the war, Harry's second and third years at Hogwarts should have been representative of this massive insurgence of new students. My last gripe with the assertion that wizardkind is going extinct has to do with how witches and wizards came to be in the first place. As I mentioned earlier, wizardkind is just a subset of humankind with a genetic mutation that allows them to manipulate magic. This means that, for as long as humankind exists, who don't seem to be going anywhere, there will always be the possibility for humans to develop these magical capabilities. Rowling has also expressed that the magical gene is dominant, which would suggest that there is a 50% chance of passing on the magical gene to offspring in the event of a magical individual mating with a non-magical individual. To summarize, I don't think that the wizarding population is going anywhere. Did the wizarding world, particularly wizarding Britain, suffer great losses at the hands of Voldemort? Certainly. But is their entire species at risk of extinction? Absolutely not. What do you guys think? Are wizards en route to extinction? Or is this just a bunch of fear-mongering? Let me know in the comment section below. Also, if you enjoyed this content, please like the video and subscribe to the channel. Until next time, remember, it does not do to dwell on dreams and forget to live.